Welcome to season 3 of the Student Leadership Podcast. We believe you were created to make a difference. So we want to equip you to lead your generation in whatever setting you find yourself in. So whether it's your high school, middle school, college campus, or anywhere in between, we want to help you point others to Jesus. What's going on, everybody? And welcome to the Overtime episode where we're breaking down Aaron Holt's talk on prayer. And I'm joined with Colin and Caleb in the new stew.
So nice.
Cooking it up.
Cooking it up, baby. Okay, we're jumping right in. We're jumping right into prayer because that's why people are here, to hear us talk about prayer. And there's a lot to dive into. But before we get into that, all three of us grew up as youth group kids. We were in the youth groups. We know the most spiritual kids got to pray on the microphone. The least never did, right?
Yeah,
No. There's like weird hierarchy in youth groups. And I think prayer is normally your first test if you're in the good favors of the youth pastor or not, right? It's like, hey, will you pray before service?
And
it's
oh my gosh,
this is my moment. Here I am, dude. I rehearsed that prayer. It might as well have been a skit, dude. I was like, Jesus, I mean, thank you for the game. You know, I got it all down.
And then you built it up and you started crying at one spot.
Right. Whoa. Yeah. Not the cry. Okay. Talk to me about your views on prayer when you were in youth group or you're in middle school and high school, and maybe how that's a little bit different than now. However you want to answer that, you can take it in any direction.
I guess I felt like the students who were, you know, praying into a microphone or asked to pray over things, in my mind, I was like, oh, these are the students who are in drama club or they love English class.
Wait, really?
And so they have like a good vocabulary and they're well spoken. But I wasn't really friends with those people.
Wow.
I don't know.
The take I was expecting. See, I always thought they were so holy. I was like, oh my gosh, if I could ever pray like that. Because I sounded like, I did not think that I sounded spiritual enough.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, I feel like a good amount of those students who were, you know, given those opportunities maybe aren't following Christ that closely right now.
Yeah.
Right. So there's something there. It's like, okay, just because you can have like this super eloquent prayer doesn't necessarily mean that your heart is in the right place.
Oh, wow.
Right? And, you know, back in high school, my heart definitely wasn't in the right place. So I'm not saying I was any better than those people, but.
No, but prayer isn't a public prayer isn't probably the best indicator.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
That's a good way to.
I don't know if it felt like that to me, though, man. I wanted to pray so good. I want to be the best prayer out there. You know, in Chi Alpha that I lead at the University of Pittsburgh, I asked a kid to pray before our worship service. And he came up to me afterward and he was like, dude, my prayer was beat.
What is that? Wait, what does that mean?
My prayer was beat, dude. Like straight beat. Like not good.
Oh, okay.
He like didn't think he prayed good. And I was like, yikes. This is a weird culture. Like, and I'm leading it and I need to fix it. Okay, before we get into that, Colin, talk to me about how you used to view prayer and maybe contrast that with now. Or maybe you've always viewed it the same way.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't changed at all. No, prayer in high school felt like whoever can pray the loudest is the holiest.
Yeah, the loudest.
The loudest.
Screaming?
Yes. I mean, like whoever could pray like with the most intensity. We had an ours. Was
Colin, a, you love. I have learned this about you. You were an intense child.
Colin is still intense.
I'm still intense. That hasn't changed. No, but
football on Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh! Yo, please let's not ever bring that up again. Goodness gracious!
I forgot about that.
Anyway, back to prayer, please. Goodness gracious! I had to do a lot of that after Thanksgiving. That was the whole car ride home.
All right, so prayer.
Anyway,
prayer.
No, we had a student leader group that mm-hmm. would meet, and one of the things that our youth pastor would really challenge us to do is to pray so that your ears could hear it. Hmm. And then that quickly shifted to pray so that others' ears are bleeding. Because we were legitimately, he would, if we weren't praying loud enough, he would get on the mic and he'd be like, come on, the devil needs to hear your prayers. Like,
whoa,
all these like things. And like, it probably was more intense than, it probably wasn't as intense as I'm remembering it. But all that I remember was I need to pray loudly and I need to pray like just really like kind of a bold and maybe borderline aggressive prayers sometimes.
No, aggressive prayers aren't terrible.
They're not terrible. It's and I guess we would call that intercessory prayers, but there's a level of like emotional intelligence you have to bring into your prayer life, because when you don't, that's when the weird stuff starts happening.
Oh, true.
Like, that's whenever you start like pushing people over, and you have those people that are praying over you for 10 minutes crying, and you can't even remember like, what are they praying about? Like, this is really strange.
So the passion is there.
Yeah.
That's good. But it probably needs to be aimed a little better.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like, if we get in a situation like Colin was explaining, or like we're praying loud just to pray loud, right? That can almost turn into sort of like a what the Pharisees were doing I was going to say Old Testament, but I guess they did it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Yeah. And Jesus called them out for it.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, yeah, they pray so that other people can hear them.
Yeah. Or long drawn out prayers.
Yeah.
He literally talks about both of those things we just talked about.
Oh, I hate that.
So help me out then. Because I agree. I don't think anyone listening to this disagrees, but like, don't you think that prayer, if we like had our church services start, or, you know, a prayer meeting start, and someone was like, God, like, help us in Jesus' name, amen. I think all of us would be like, hey, yo, like a little brief, or, you know, someone like kind of stumbled over their words. It feels like there's a default level of like good public praying that needs to be there, or maybe God doesn't care at all.
Which perspective are we going to like focus on here? Is it the, I'm judging other people for them praying, or I'm going to judge myself for how I pray in front of other people?
Because
genuinely, like, I don't think that I can be a fair judge. If I'm leading other students that I have that are praying, like, I will absolutely say, you're praying in front of a child, please don't use big words. Like, that's just common courtesy. But whenever we're praying in front of other people, there's got to be a focus, like whenever we're doing anything in public, of, okay, how am I trying to serve other people through my prayers?
Okay.
And so whenever I'm praying publicly, that's got to be the question. That's genuinely, whenever I'm doing stuff publicly in front of other people, whether it's preaching or giving a lesson or something like that, the question of, am I doing good with this, is not going to get you to the right location.
Yeah.
Like, that's never going to take you to a spot where you're like, oh yeah, I finally arrived. Like, the people you look at that are praying good aren't asking that question. What they're asking is, what do other people need? What am I needed to pray for? And if I know what I'm praying for, then my prayers aren't flying all like aimlessly all over the place. I'm not like, and I also pray for like the kids that they're going to have in like five generations. Like, I'm just praying for what's needed. And that's usually focused. That's not adding in like all of this unnecessary like crap and garbage.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically you use the term emotional intelligence. I think it probably takes knowing yourself and understanding what is the motivation. And if it is so other people think you're spiritual, I think, as kindly as I can say this, you're angled erroneously at best. You're off. And if it's to sound spiritual, or even to pump other people up, we can probably justify that. Like, no, it's good. But I think we should start with prayers between us and God. And if we're trying to talk to our Father, yes, we're leading other people in prayer, but it is so we can get a touch, a kiss of heaven. I think we got to ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? And why am I saying what I'm saying? Am I trying to impress someone? And if not, I probably need to scale that back and start back over. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, 100%. I feel like even now there's times where, like, you know, you're in a group of people and you're about to go serve and do something, and, you know, whoever's leading that says, hey, can you lead this prayer right now?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, there's this little thought in your mind, like, oh shoot, like I didn't prepare for this.
Yeah.
And that's like, you shouldn't have to prepare for that.
That's what I was thinking when the kid said straight beat. I was like, but you were talking to God. Like,
yeah,
it's just a talk.
There's something, I feel like there's something about public prayer that maybe we get confused about, and we are like, oh, this has to be almost like a sermon. Like, this has to be polished. This has to be, I don't know, put together. All my thoughts have to tie in really well here. And I think sometimes that leads us to praying for the wrong reasons.
Yes, dude.
And like, we're putting on appearances because we want to sound eloquent and we want to sound closer to God than we actually are.
Okay. But let me counter that for a second, because there are times whenever your prayers can actually repel people. Like that question that Aaron asked was, do other people want your prayer life? There's sometimes when it's like, no, because maybe that sounded really inexperienced or whatever. There's other times whenever you can actually pray in such a way that people are turned off to the idea of Jesus.
What do you mean?
So in 1 Corinthians, whenever Paul's talking to the church about what they're doing, of how they're praying.
They were crazy.
They were crazy. Like there were actually ways, and that's in the Bible, not like we're reading through church history. There were things that Paul was literally writing of saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
Like whenever people are coming in, like if you're loudly speaking in tongues, like people that have never met Jesus before are going to be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So there absolutely is a way where your prayers can turn people off, which is, I think, the scary part. But I think most of the time, like to the students that are listening that are going like, wait a second, like, okay, but I don't want to go up there and I don't want to say something wrong that's going to make somebody think and then go away from Jesus. It's not so much in the what you're saying. That's more so in the delivery of how you say it.
Yeah, that's good. So there's like a fine balance.
Yeah,
there is. Yeah.
I mean, Aaron literally talked about this. He said, something, I'm not going to quote him perfectly, but he said something along the lines of, we have put an overemphasis on like public speaking and our sermons and our that, and maybe an undervalue of prayer. What we're describing is that mentality now copied on top of our prayer life. So it's not like a private thing between us and God. We're talking about like my performance prayer and making it really good. I will say though, I feel that tension a lot. I'm on a microphone. There's 30 plus people looking at me. The lights are on. The camera is streaming. And it's like, I don't want to sound dumb. You know, like So what are some ways that you guys have personally, or maybe, you know, maybe this is the first time you're thinking about this. What are ways we can guard against inauthenticity and really try and throw up prayers to God that honor him and that touch his heart, not inflate our own ego and make us look great.
Okay. So this is like another pet peeve, just church wise. I hate whenever I hear like a pastor say something along the lines of like, yo, give it up for my hot wife. Like,
I agree.
All right, tie it together for us, Colin.
Because there's sometimes whenever you'll see those people that then a few months later or years later, you realize like, oh wow, that marriage just imploded. There are times whenever it's really easy to publicly want to pray and have your relationship with God out there that you're talking about it and showing it and being like, look at me, whenever you don't have that underneath the surface. And it is it feels almost like the equivalent. So the best way to actually like feel that you are competent with your prayers and that you can actually reach and help other people is to pray to God on your own and have that prayer life with him. I've realized there's times in my life whenever I'm genuinely like, wow, like I feel like I didn't have anything to even say in my prayers, like when I was praying over somebody else or anything like that. And I'm looking and I'm going, I haven't been praying much myself. Like my relationship with God's getting to a shallow spot,
yeah,
which is now overflowing into these other places where I can't even be a benefit to other people.
That checks out for sure.
So Colin and Jordan, like what are some practical ways or like things that you do in your personal prayer life that have helped you like stay accountable and stay consistent in your personal prayer life?
Okay.
Give some tips to the students.
Here's a hot take.
Give it.
I think we have an aversion to pre-written prayers because they sound inauthentic. I got to pray my own prayer. But I think church history, I mean, Jesus gave us a template, but he also said you can kind of pray this way. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think if you're just starting out, sometimes like if there's a daily devotional that you use or you found a pastor that has kind of 30 days of prayer or something, dude, it's okay to pray prayers that someone else wrote if you mean it in your heart.
Absolutely.
We pastors all the time say, repeat after me, and I have no problem with that. Hey, pray repeat after me. But then we get in there and it's like, I can't pray someone else's prayer. I will say a lot of times when I started off preaching, I was preaching a lot of people's points or thoughts that I sprinkled my own on until eventually I grew in maturity and then I could preach kind of on my own. I don't think, you know, you got to credit people, but I don't think it was bad for me to take my senior pastor's message and turn it into a devo and do it at lunch. You know, I'm taking their wisdom and their experience and jumping. So I say, actually, it's okay to find a template and a guide or a 30-day prayer book or something like that and work out a structure and learn to walk. Yep. Some of us are crawlers, dude. Mm-hmm. We got to learn to walk. And it's like, we're really like, if I don't sprint, I don't want it. Well, maybe learn to walk first. And I think, yeah, prepackaged prayers or prayers that other people have prayed that you're just writing down and praying every day, it's not so bad.
I love that. I think there's got to be a lot of variety in your prayer life. It gets, when it starts feeling stale,
yeah, that's true.
You have to try something new. Here's what I mean by that. Like, there's times whenever my prayer life is legitimately, I will spend 10 minutes just in silence, which doesn't feel like, okay, that's a cop out. You're not praying. No, whenever I'm intentionally spending that time just in God's presence,
letting him speak to you.
Yeah, that's like, my prayer isn't just my communication. Like, it's my interaction with God. So that's times whenever I'm just sitting there right before him. There's other times whenever I'm journaling. That's a way of praying. There's other times whenever I am going back and forth, just pacing in my room, and I'm a little bit more energetic, just declaring things over people. There's multiple different ways. Like, when I'm alone, like, I have to like shake it up because it's a relationship with God. If I do the same thing every single day, like, it's gonna feel a little bit stale.
Yeah. I mean, variety is the spice of life, right?
That's true. It is.
I think for me, what I do is the most consistent way that I've found is just like in the car on the way to work. And a lot of times it's not really anything special or grandiose. I just bumped the microphone. but it's just a conversation, right? And it's just like, all right, here are the things that I'm dealing with. And it's like, all right, God, you know about this situation that's going on. Give me this, or help me with this, or God, thank you for my life right now. Like, I know that I'm frustrated. Maybe I'm having a little bit of like depression over the situation. I'm feeling a little hopeless, right? But thank you for all the other things that you've done in my life. Thank you for what you've given me, all that stuff. And it's just a conversation. It's just going back and forth. And just, and then like Colin was saying, like, part of that is also like, I'll say a couple words or a couple sentences, and then I'll just be silent for a little bit and give God time to talk back to me. And if I'm not talking, then I'm listening, right? And then I can receive an impartation, right, from the Holy Spirit. From
one thing, you just modeled that I think needs to be like underlined is, I love that you are talking to God like casually. I don't think that's disrespectful. I actually like that you took very normal things and were very real. It wasn't grandiose or formal. I think there's something really holy and special about that that I'm taking away with me. That's good.
Yeah. And I think it's helpful to even just walk into it with some type of guidelines for yourself of, whenever you pray, you're not always going to feel something, and that doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong.
Oh, that is good advice.
Like, and I have to...
Wait, say that again?
Whenever you pray, if you don't feel something, that doesn't mean that you did it wrong.
Yeah.
But that's true just for ministry in general.
Yes,
like, anything. That's not just like for your... Like, I've had times where I've prayed over people and saw healing and felt nothing. And that's not because I did it wrong. Like, you saw the result right there. But whenever you walk into it, you have to know, like, prayer is a spiritual thing. Just because you don't feel it emotionally doesn't mean that something didn't move spiritually.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that there wasn't a breakthrough. Doesn't mean that God wasn't there with you. Like, if you walk into it knowing, like, there's no expectation, like, I have to feel something whenever I'm doing it, I have a little bit more grace on myself of like, okay, like, I'm not feeling anything different, but that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. There is something that happens when you pray.
Yeah. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. And part of that word discipline that we don't like is like, sometimes we have to go back and do the same thing over and over, even when we don't feel like it, because we know in the end result, there's going to be some good fruit that comes from that, right? And our emotions, like you were saying, are fickle, right? And sometimes we can't trust them. And sometimes like we're doing the right thing, but we don't feel the right way.
And emotionally, I don't feel led of like, oh, wow, I woke up and I want to pray sometimes. There's times when I feel like I need to, but I'm not always like, wow, you know what's going to be the best thing in the world right now? Let me go spend time praying.
Yeah.
That is not always my heart. I want it to be, but that's not always where it's at.
I mean, our emotions fail us all the time. So why would we trust them in regards to anything? Jesus literally even said to his disciples who tried to cast out a demon, this one right here, that can only be broken with prayer and fasting. And so that does show that something, as you, to your point, Colin, something is happening in the background. I was actually thinking this, you asked for practical. As we kind of close up, I was thinking that actually, if you want to kickstart your prayer, A fast could be a great way to do that. A meal or a day. Obviously consult your youth pastor or your campus pastor or something, just to get good solid principles and advice there. But fasting does really help accelerate our prayer life and our dependency on Jesus. And if you're like me and you were distracted easily, which is me, I actually made, when I prayed during a fast, kind of a list, like Aaron talked about, you know, oh, here's a category. We start with worship, and then we, you know, intercede for others, and then we pray about our temptation, then we ask for what we need for the day. I literally, for like a couple days, just wrote out bullet points for all of those, and then just kind of went through them, and that was my prayer. And I got used to praying for those things, and I felt like momentum was being added as I did that. So students, we want to see your prayer life take off. We do believe that that is the backbone, the gas to what is going to take place at your school, at your campus, or in your youth group. So we are standing with you in solidarity, believing with you guys. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up? Awesome. Hey, pray about it. Students, thanks so much for listening to this week's Overtime episode. Hey, if this said anything to you, or you feel like, man, you're challenged to pray a little bit more, reach out to us on social. We'd love to celebrate and cheer you on. We'll see you next time.